God kind of life, a life that's filled with joy and peace and prosperity. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it what? More abundantly. He said, this life that I'm giving you, I'm not just giving you that life, but I'm giving you that life with an abundance added to it. And we also got the revelation that that word abundance, one of the meanings means to what? Anybody remember? To give you an advantage. Come on, you got to remember that. God came to give us an advantage in this life. And so we thank God for that. So we want to pick up on today with marriage. Somebody say marriage.
Marriage.
Marriage. We've been dealing with getting your life of order in finance. We've been saying, talking about getting your life in order in terms of singlehood. How many singles do we have in the house? Man, so I pray that you've been challenged on that. On last week, Co-Pastor did an awesome job on last week regarding parenting and getting our life in order, not being enablers. And so we want to move forward with talking about marriage. And I want to talk about marriage God's way. So if we're going to get our life in order and we're going to live a life that's full and abundant, then we have to get our marriage in order. Because how many of you understand when marriages are strong, families are strong. And when families are strong, societies are strong. Many of the ills in society, we can trace it back to dysfunctional homes. And many times it's marriages or the lack thereof. So if we can get this thing called marriage together that should reflect Christ, then it will also flow over until your society and the culture and everything will be stronger because of it. So we want to deal with that. We want to get some order in there. And I know we're all sanctified and, you know, Holy Ghost filled. And, you know, maybe some of you don't have any problems in your family. And maybe, you know, you've got, you know, the husband, the wife, and 2.5 kids, and the white picket fence, and everything is perfect, and there's no drama. But for some of us, somebody say, but for some of us, you know, we've had some drama, or we are living in some drama right now, and we are trying to navigate through this minefield called marriage. You know, I signed up for it, and I thought I was signing up for something good. And all of a sudden, 6 months late into this thing, I found out, what did I sign up for? What did I put my name on? And who did I say I do to? So we want to talk about marriage. As quiet as it's kept, many times, even in the church, we have a whole lot of drama in marriages. And sometimes the drama has to do more than just intentionality about causing drama. Sometimes it comes as a result of not having any positive role models to model how a marriage is supposed to be. Do you understand? If you've been around and you lived in dysfunction, dysfunction is who you are. That's all you know. Some people, they grew up in drama and all they knew is on Friday night, drama gonna break out, and I guess that's normal. Well, it may not be your normal, but for some people, that's their normal. Some people, they cannot thrive in just a peaceful atmosphere. They got to have something going on. And a lot of times that has to do with our background. But what I want to say today is we got to learn how to do marriage God's way. Because we've been talking about singlehood, bringing a life of order in our singlehood. All of this stems from or starts with doing it God's way. Doing it God's way. We cannot expect to have a successful marriage and we don't do it God's way. God has already given us the blueprint on how we should function as a marriage covenant. And so I want to talk about that. I want to pull out some things. I want to bring up some things. I won't have time to talk about everything that I want to talk about, but I do want to challenge the married couples to be back here on Wednesday because we're going to start. And we're going to challenge you. I've got a couple of things that I'm going to pull out there. Also, I'm going to also ask you married couples, if you would take some time to email us some questions that maybe you have. You know, we won't put your name out there, but maybe there are some things that you want to bring up that you don't want anybody to know your business and you got to write. But you can send it to us via email and we'll look that over and try to address your questions as well. And also, you know, there's about, I want to probably deal with a couple of things, but one of them is the top 10 things that challenges or kills our marriage relationship. Because I think that's important to understand. Because as much as you're saved and sanctified and you do speak in tongues, statistics are saying, now check this out, statistics are saying, according to George Bonner survey, Christian survey organization, they said 38% of non-Christians are ending up divorcing. That means out of 100 couples, every 100 couples, 38 of them are ending up in divorce. That's non-Christians. Now, they also went on to say that, you know, we heard that proverbial phrase that a family that prays together stays together. He says, well, maybe not necessarily so, because it's going to take a little more than just prayer to get through your marriage. Because how many of you know most of us are praying people? But you still got problems, so you still got to have some practicality. You got to put some word, and you got to make some adjustments and changes. But he goes on to say that 33% of evangelical Christians are ending up divorcing. So that means out of every 100 couples that get married, evangelical Christians, 33 of them end up in divorce. And somebody say, man, Now, these are evangelical Christians. These are tongue-talking people. Holy Ghost filled. I love the Lord. I worship every Sunday. And yet we can't do this thing called marriage. Now, if there's no failure in God, and if the Word is perfect in its entirety, then if we've got some failure, it has to fall on us. Now, I do want to put this out here, too. Because I understand that we may have people who have been through a divorce for no reason of your own. Or maybe, you know, before you got revelation on this thing called Christianity, that you went through that. I am not here to make you feel bad or insult you, because it is what it is. Thank God. And you move on with your life. But for those of us who are married and we're still married, we want to speak to you, because at the end of the day, the Bible says that God really hates divorce. He's into covenant. He's into covenant. And so when we tie covenant with somebody, God looks at it as something that's supposed to be until death do you part. That's what covenant is. God says in Psalms 89 and 34, he says, my covenant I don't break. Amen. And I won't alter the thing. God says, I'm in the covenant. So that's why marriage is not for children. Marriage is not for immature people. Marriage is serious. Look at somebody and say, marriage is for grown-ups. Yeah, yeah. You don't get in this. You don't get in this if you're not ready. You know, because once you get in here, you don't get your money back. You this ain't no layaway plan. You can't change your mind. You know, you can't say, oops, I made a mistake. You know, I'm getting out of this. No, you don't get your money back. When you wake up after that honeymoon, that's who you got. And that's who you're going to be with for the rest of your life. Can I say something before I start on this? One of the problems I'm finding out in this culture is, in this culture, it's a little bit different. Because this generation, many times when they go into marriage, they don't go into marriage with, you know, I threw away the key and there's no going back. This generation goes in there, just in case. You see, I got a little bag still packed. Because if you act crazy, you know. But see, when my generation, when we were growing up, you know, you can hate on us if you want to. But in our generation, when we were growing up, we would say, until death do us part. Me and Audrey are going to grow old together. You know, we came in there with a full set of teeth and, you know, whole head of hair, but we already know, you know, it could be a time when Arch doesn't have all his teeth. Pray I do, but you know, and my hair is not like it used to be. But you know, we're okay with that. We went in there with that understanding. Doesn't mean we don't have any problems, but we went in there. This generation's got, you know, they got little bags still packed. Now, if you got a bag pack and you get married, you ain't ready. You ain't ready, because this is one of them things where you don't get your money back. So you got to go in there like that. Because if you go in any other way, you're setting yourself up for defeat. So you're saying that if it gets tough, I ain't going to try to work through it now. I'm rolling. No, you got to go in there. If it gets tough, we going to roll up our sleeves and we going to work this thing out. Now, we might have some back-to-back nights, and, you know, couples know what I'm talking about. You know, back-to-back means, you know, you pointing that way, you sleeping that way, and she's sleeping this way, and ain't nobody touching, and you can probably get two people in between you, you know, because that's just the way it is. But you're going to work through it. Amen. You're going to work through it. So this generation is a little bit different, and that's God intended for us to work through this thing. Don't have some problems, but you work through it. So having said that, let's deal with this thing called marriage. Marriage God's way. Okay? Now I've already read our foundational scripture. Let's go to a very familiar book, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm just using these as reference points. So nobody else said, well, Pastor didn't give me no scriptures today. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 21. I'm reading from the New King James. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now look at Ephesians verse 33, same chapter. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wives see that she respects her husband. Respects her husband. Okay. As I'm going to share a few things. Because what I'm trying to share on today is just marriage God's way and some things that I believe we need to get back to doing. And if you're not doing it, you need to do it if you're going to have success. And I think I can say that, and I'm not saying this in arrogance in any way, because if you check our track record, we've been through some things. But we've been married for a little over three decades, 31 years. July 2017. Isn't it 31 years, right? 31 years. You've been with me for 31 years. You've been with me for 31 years. Same man, same woman. 31 years. That's a long time. We got married when we were 26 years old. We didn't have a clue what we were doing, but we knew we couldn't live together. I ain't get no amens on that. You know, they said divorce rate is down a little bit, and I was doing some research, and they said the reason why is because people ain't married no more. They cohabitate now. You know, there's over 3 million people that are cohabitating. I did some homework, you know, but so we didn't really know what we were doing. We were 26 years old. We had all of, what, about an hour, 2 hours of premarital counseling with our pastor in his office. Because the same day. Here's what happened. Here's it. Give you a little snippet and tell you that the reason why we're still together. But I was in Alaska. I was working for a contracting company. And then I got a job back in the States, in the lower 48, in Maryland. And so she came up with me for the interview. And on our way going back, she said, let's stop at the Job Corps Center. Now, granted, I didn't know anything about a Job Corps Center. She didn't. We were from Virginia. Okay, but I had been stationed at Fort Meade. And so right then on 198, we stopped in there. She went in there. They interviewed her on the spot. She got the job on the spot. Okay, we had already talked about marriage, but, you know, I was still a little, you know, I was talking, but, you know, the brothers know what I'm talking about. We have been talking, but, you know, I don't know if I was ready to take that dip yet, Deke. But anyway, I got a job, she got a job, and we both said to ourselves, you know, well, you can't live together, so that's not even an option. I'm saying it, that's not an option. So We said, well, I guess I'm going to have to expedite this, so I guess we're going to get married. So I went to the jewelry store, got the ring, put it on her finger. Now, to this day, she said, I didn't ask her to marry me. But that's what she said. But, Brother Dennis, if I put the ring on, it's kind of understood, isn't it? I mean, come on, brother. Can the brother say amen? If I put the ring on, Elder, I mean, I thought I asked, but I did put the ring on. And it was a nice ring, too. Elder Parker, truth is, I came to your house, right? So my intentions were there. You know, I was still working, brother, because I'm like, I'm getting my license up. You know, and we got married. And, put the ring on and told the pastor, because I'd just gotten saved about 3 years prior. And I told the pastor, I said, well, pastor, you know, we want to get married. Can you marry us? And this is the situation that we're dealing with. He understood. So he brought us into the office and we had a good 1 to 2 hours of premarital counseling. That's it. And then he blessed us. And I remember something he said. He said, I've married a lot of people, Brother Harris and Sister Harris, I've married a lot of people. He said, some I felt good about. He said, some I didn't feel so good about. He says, but I feel good about you guys. That's what my pastor said. And see, for us, when the pastor said something, it meant something to us. And so if the pastor said he felt good about us, even though I didn't, you know, I was feeling good, but I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know, you know, but I felt good about my wife, and I think she felt good about me. We left out, you know, and we were rolling. So over the next few years, we hit some turbulence. We hit some trying times. You know, I don't have time to go into all the gory details and the stuff, you know. But it was, you know, it wasn't pretty all the time. But one of the things, and my wife, I remember her saying that, one of the things that kept us going, one was what the pastor said. He said, I felt good about you guys. And believe it or not, we rolled on that for a moment. And then as we grew, and basically me, as I grew and I got in the Word and I understood what this thing called marriage was all about, I can tell you now the secret to our longevity over 31 years. It's not because we've been perfect. We are far from perfect. If you look at our track record from the time we got married to now, you're like, woo, pastor, okay, man, you had some issues, didn't you? Yeah, I had some issues. I had some real issues. You know, growing and developing and trying to love her like I'm supposed to. Yeah, I had some issues along the way. But the one thing I can track and say, the reason why now I know that we're still together, you know why? Because we had a commitment to God. Our commitment to God. Now, you can say we had a commitment to one another, which we did. But that commitment to one another really wouldn't mean much if I didn't have a commitment to him. Because what kept my commitment to her was my commitment to him. Now, if I don't have it with him, I'm not going to be able to keep it with her. Oh, God. See, that's why the Bible says something about don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because you might have a commitment, but if the other person doesn't have a commitment with God, it's going to be tough to work it out. It's going to be tough. Convictions are different. But we both had a commitment to him. So even though we hit some challenging and some stormy days, what kept us together over 31 years now is we were committed to him. And because I'm committed to him, guess what? Real men don't walk out. You know what? You roll up your sleeves and you do what you got to do. Woo! I didn't get no amens on that one. You know, no. You don't abandon because you gave your word. And a man's word is his what? It's his bond. He gave my word. So for 31 years, that's what has kept us together. He's been the glue that kept us together. You know, if you don't have no glue, you won't stay stuck together. So if she rolls out, that's okay. Guess what? I'm rolling too. It's just what it is. And she said, you can go, but I'm coming too. It ain't no separation, you know. I'm leaving too. Because we made a commitment. Until death do us part. I know that's hard preaching for this generation now, but the truth is the truth. See, so when you see people 40 and 50 years, it isn't because they haven't been through anything. They've had the glue to keep them together. Amen. Thank God for the glue. So let's, and see, that glue has been the Word of God. And we have mirrored our relationship based on that Word. Now, I'm still a work in progress. I can't speak for my wife, but I'm still a work in progress. She will tell you I'm still a work in progress. Amen. But I'm a whole lot better than I was when I was 26. See, the sisters will let you know. You know, you can't ever get too high-minded with your wife because she'll just, boy, you better be quiet before I come up there and take that mic and bust you out in here. So I'm a whole lot better now. You know, from the time I was 26 to now the time I'm 57, I'm a whole lot better. I'm a different man now. You know, my responses are different. How I do things, how I process is different. Thank God, because when I was younger, okay, well, I wasn't going to tell you too much. Okay, so let me just share some things with you about what it means to bring your marriage in order and a marriage God's way, okay? And this is coming from the Word of God. These are just things that I would advise you to do or to revisit if you've gotten away from them. Okay, simplistic, you've heard them, but nevertheless, if you do them, you can have some longevity. If you don't do them, trust me, we might see you in divorce court. And I'm not prophesying, but you can't expect to have the success from God and not do it God's way. Amen. You can't do it. Okay, number one, marriage God's way. It starts with, husbands, love your wives without condition. Without conditions. Let me say that again before I deal with it. Husbands, love your wives without conditions. Now, going back to Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, he's saying, love your wife. Most of us know that word love, agape. Agape. It means the unconditional love. So if I'm going to have success and I'm not going to have drama and I'm going to bring order back into my marital relationship, the first thing I got to do, and notice he starts with the man, he doesn't start with the woman. Because most of the time, if the man lines up, it's something inherently in the woman that she will follow her man. Come on. Because you know why? Because you are a helpmate. God created you to be a help to him. So if he lines up, you're right there with him. Bad thing is, if he doesn't line up, sometimes you're still with him because it's inherently in you. But husbands, love your wives without conditions. That means you don't wait till she gets right to love her. You don't love her under certain circumstances. Let me tell you something. If you haven't already realized, my brothers, your wife is not perfect. But God says, I want you to love her when she's good, and I want you to love her when she's not too good. I want you to love her when she's having a good hair day, and I want you to love her when she's having a bad hair day. I want you to love her when her hormones are right on cue, and I want you to love her when her hormones are just going all over the place. And you're trying to wonder, baby, why you going off on me on that? I just said that last week. Well, you can't say that today. You can't do that today. Don't you ever. And know what you got to do? You got to keep on loving her. You can't get no attitude. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Now, here's the qualifier. He didn't say love her the way you want to love her. He said, love your wife as Christ love the church. Oh, God. Here we go. Let me go a little bit deeper. He says, I want you to love her like I love my church. Let me go a little bit deeper, brothers. I want you to love her like I love you. You know when you got drunk, I kept on loving you. You know when you backslid, I kept on loving you. You know when you were cussing, I kept on loving you. You know when you had a bad attitude and wasn't faithful, I kept on loving you. Now I'm telling you, love her like I love you. Ooh, Jesus. That's heavy. That's heavy. He's telling Archie to love Audrey like that. So he's saying, if you got a problem loving her, then I need to have a problem loving you. Because you are my church, and I don't stop loving you, and you know you haven't been perfect. Don't let me put you on blast, boy. That's what God says back to me. He says, now, so if you got a problem loving her, then you want me to have a problem loving you. Now, I didn't write this. Don't get quiet. I didn't write this. This is in the Bible. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. His church. Because you already know church is jacked up. I mean, church would do some crazy stuff. Come on, somebody. And you in it. You in it. And sometimes you the crazy. But he doesn't stop loving you. I mean, come on. Who can love you like God loves you? I mean, come on. I mean, he knows the inner workings of your very soul. He knows the deep secrets of your heart. And he knows it's there. He knows there's some dark, deep, dirty stuff down there. And yet he loves you. Stuff that you wouldn't want anybody to know. In fact, if it came up on the screen there, you would do this. Excuse me. Where you going? I got to go. Because you wouldn't want nobody to see it. God knows about it, and he keeps on loving you. Amen. And you know what I love about him? He doesn't put your stuff on blast. Amen. He doesn't put you on Front Street. He knows that you're just as nasty as you can be. But you're ushering. And I can't get no help. He knows you lose, but you're trying to praise and worship. And he says now, I still love you. And know what I want you to do? And please, no, I'm not none of the deacons. I'm just using this example. I know you're Deacon John, but on Friday, you're Slick Johnny. You're Lusting Johnny. But you're Deacon. Now, what does he say? He say, but I still love you while you're working through your stuff. Then he turns around and says, now, husbands, the same way I love you with all your baggage, I want you now to love her. Holy quietness. Because that's challenging. You know why? Because you can't do that in your flesh. You can't do that with all your positive thinking. You got to do that by your spirit. You got to be able to say, God, the same way you love me, give me the power and the grace to love my wife the same way. Because nobody's perfect. And there are going to be some times when you're going to feel like, Lord Jesus, what did I do? Now, brothers, y'all keep looking straight because you cannot say it and you better not even look like that. But I'm going to talk for you. There have been days. You say, Lord, what did I do? And the Lord say, I kept loving you. This is what you got to do. So, first one, if we're going to get our marriage like God, it starts with the man. You got to love her. Because here's what I found out, brothers. When you love her, she always responds in kind. Okay, let me get, I don't have too many kiddies in here. I'm going to use this. Now, brothers, when you marry, you're looking for sex. And you're wondering why sex isn't coming to you. And she's saying, but she ain't looking for that necessarily. She's looking for affection. Now, when you give affection, sex could follow. But sometimes she wants affection without any ulterior motives of sex. Because if all you do is rub her and hold her when you want sex, that means now she's become a woman of the night. And she said, you didn't marry no woman of the night now. I want you to hug me and to touch me and to rub me and to get close to me without wanting anything. And when I know that that's really your motive, you can have whatever you want. Oh, see, somebody need to help a brother out on this. Because I don't want to feel like your prostitute now. I want you to know that I'm a person. I'm a real person. I'm more than just thighs and all that other stuff. And I want to know that you care about me. So when he says, husbands, love your wife, he said, show affection. And not just when it's nighttime. But you got to woo her throughout the day. Because the truth is, if you want to get it on, that don't start at night. That starts early in the morning. Maybe with a hot cup of coffee. Baby, I just got that for you. And then a little phone call throughout the day. Hey, baby, just thinking about you. Put the phone down. What is he? Is he on something? 2 hours later, Elder Gaither, hey, baby, just thinking about you again. She like, Michael didn't go. What is wrong with Michael? And she don't know. Michael just, he just walking this thing down. But the whole thing is, you loving it too. You like, is he going to call? Okay, he called me an hour ago. And you just looking at the clock now. What a clock. Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, just thinking about you some more, baby. I look forward to seeing you when we get home. And all in your mind, let's get it on. Oh, baby. But see, that starts with unconditional love and affection. And sometimes, brothers, you got to learn just how to blow her mind. Just show her all kind of affection and just go to bed. He don't. And she going to get on the cell phone and say, Susie, I think there's something wrong with my husband. He just showed me all his affection, and he just laid down and snoring. Something wrong with that boy. He ain't never did that. And all of a sudden now, she's chasing you. And you running. Hey, baby, what's up? She said, when you coming home? And you afraid to come home now because you didn't let the tide out of that woman. But that's good fun, dear. That's good fun because you are loving her like Christ loved the church. You are showing affection. Now she's responsive. She's responsive. Because whatever you want, brothers, you got to sow that. And your wife is a reflection of you. I'm going to deal with that a little bit later. Okay, I got much to do, so I can't stay here too long. Husbands, love your wife without condition. So we understand that. Number two, this is the obvious one. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Submit yourself. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. We forget about that. We forget about that. As unto the Lord. See, that's the qualifier there. It didn't say you submit to everything. It says you submit to everything along as according to the word of God. Amen. The way you submit to Christ is the way you submit to your husband. That's right. Okay? So as long as your husband is asking you X, Y, and Z, and it's in line with the word of God, then God says, I expect you to submit. I expect you to submit. Okay? Now, let me break this down. Submission, hypoteso, is the Greek word. And it comes from this Greek military term for troops or soldiers that would come in line with the commander's order. They would have to willfully do that. Okay? But it also, from a non-military perspective, it means to cooperate. To have a voluntary attitude of giving in. So submission is not anything that you can make anybody do, my brothers. Because guess what? You married to a grown up. The only people you can make do something is your kids, but you can't make your wife do nothing. You submit. No, you can't. I mean, you can't make her do that. This is a voluntary act of her own will. That's why she has to do it from a perspective of her heart. Oh, God. So it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? How do you do that, wives? Let me help you out. You do that. Your submission is your respecting his role as the head of the covering, the protector, and the provider of the marriage relationship. Okay, let me, come here, honey. Can I use you a little bit, babe? Oh. Don't mess my train of thought up, man. See, because brothers, you know, we can't multitask. If you go there now, see my mind, see Brother Brian, my mind is going. Brother Brian, like, yeah, Pastor. I'm telling brothers, come back. Okay. Now, notice this. Submission. It is a voluntary act on her part to submit to her husband, who is her covering, her protector, and her provider. So, when I say to Audrey, honey, the Lord is saying, we want to go this way. He's got something for us to do up north. She has to voluntarily submit to me. Because, not because she has to, but because she wants to, because she trusts my headship that I'm taking her in the right direction. She knows I'm her protector and her provider. So you know what I do? I come here and I shield her. See, when she submits, I'm able to protect her. I'm able to take her. Hold on to me. I'm able to take her. See, she's messing me up now. I'm going to turn around now. Don't do that. Stop that. See, some of y'all need to come up higher. See, that's wrong. So, see, I done lost my thought. You can't mess with me like that. Okay, hold on. Okay, so, you got to help me, hold on. Okay, so, y'all wrong. So, she's following me. I'm protecting her and I'm covering her, which means whatever she needs, I'm responsible for providing that. Okay? I cover her. I protect her. Let me tell you, protecting is just not the physical protection, my brothers. When you submit to your husband, who's a real man of God, that man is going to protect you from the stress and the pressure. He understands that you are not built for the heavy lifting of life. He says, I'll take that. You just stay right here, baby, because you're too precious to be taking those hits. If the hits come, I got you. If they come at you, I got you. If they want to hit you, I got you. I protect you. Why? Because you're willing to submit under my covering. This is not abuse. This is her willingly trusting me that I love her enough that I'm going to protect her. And I won't do anything to harm her. And I just say, baby, we gonna make it. Just stay behind me. I got all the gunfire. Yeah. I'm gonna take the hit. I'm gonna take the load. You just follow me.
Hallelujah.
It's a reason why. Thank you, honey. Mm-hmm. It's a reason why. See, she messing me up. All right, you better. Let me speed this thing up. What is it, about 5:12? We can get out of here in a minute. So, you messing my train of thought up. You really are. What was I at? See, you can't mess with me like that. So, I'm... Please don't put that on Facebook. How does the pastor lose his train of thought when his wife comes up and starts enticing him? But anyway, this is good. Okay. So I'm covering her. She's willing to submit. Now, we can do what God has called us to do because she's willing to submit. She's respecting me. Okay, I need to take a side note on this, sisters. Okay. The Bible does not say to the woman to love her husband because it's understood that's what you do. The Bible says to you to respect him. Why? Because men don't need love as much as they need respect. In fact, we interpret love out of respect. If you disrespect us, we say you don't love us. Respect to us is honoring our role as the headship of the family, of the marriage. Not somebody who oppresses you, not somebody who abuses you, but somebody who covers you. So if we don't get that respect, we can't function the way we're called to function because we don't feel like we got any respect. You won't follow me. You won't agree with me. So consequently now, we're walking in opposite directions because there is no respect. Most of the problems in relationships stem from love and respect. When she feels love, she gives respect. When he feels respected, he gives love. Now, if she doesn't feel love, she doesn't give respect. If he doesn't feel respect, he doesn't give love. Now we got this cycle that keeps going on and on and on. Somebody's got to break it and say, I'm going to love. And it starts with us as men, because if we love her, now I'm not giving her an out now, because God's going to deal with her if you are loving and she's still not doing the right thing. Because you can't make grown-ups do nothing.
That's right.
Let me just tell you, sisters, let me help you out. You can't make your husband do anything. Even when he's supposed to do it. Your nagging doesn't make him do it. In fact, it pushes him further away. What you need to do, you need to close your mouth and pray.
Amen.
Proverbs, I think it's chapter 14, says, a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hand. A wise woman knows what to say. It's the foolish that tries to get him to do something in a derogatory way. He will never respond to that because men don't respond to disrespect. That's why men do harm in the street right now to one another. And they're in jail doing major time. And sometimes, man, why'd you do that? Why'd you shoot your boy? He disrespected me. A man will take another man out just by principle of disrespect. Because it doesn't set right with us. Now, we understand that's not right. But at the end of the day, God has wired men for respect and he's wired women for love. Most of the problems in our relationship has to do with love. She says, if you love me, I will respect you. He says, if you respect me, I'll show you some love. Well, I want you to show me love. Well, you show me respect. Well, you show me respect, I'll show you love. And we're just there. We're just there. We're just there. And it's not Bible. God says it's wrong to withhold when you know to do good and you don't do it. The Bible says to him is a sin. It's wrong. It's wrong. When you have the ability to give something and you withhold it, he says you're wrong. Somebody has to be grown enough to start the process. And I put the onus on the man because we are the head. And I have seen this cycle where when a man turns the corner and he gets it right, she may take a moment, but she lines right on up. I remember years ago when we first got married, going back to my life again, and I was complaining. I was complaining to the Lord. I say, this woman will not line up. This woman, I think she's just crazy, and Audrey's just going to do what she want to do. And I don't understand why she won't submit. I just don't understand. And I was just having a real good talk with God, and I'll never forget this. God looked at me and said, when you get right, she'll get right. So you start lining up and showing her my love and watch what happened. And then about a month later, I ran into this This young man by the name of Elder William William came to our church at Kingdom Build Church of God in Christ, and he started teaching on maximized manhood. Gave me the book, and I'm reading the book, and the Holy Ghost confirmed to me through the book again. It said, change ain't change till you change, and change starts with the man. I'm like, Lord. So he basically said, if you want to see her change, you let her see you done change. So guess what I did, brothers? I started, okay, all right. I know how to work this thing now. Because, you know, I was in the world, so I know how to work it. But I just sanctified it now. So, you know, I started getting up. And we was in another community, and I started writing little notes. And I leave it on a car where she can get it. And every morning she woke up. Baby, I love you so much. Okay? Next morning, Brother Brandon, I wrote another note. Baby, I can't wait to see you again. See you later. Wrote that down. And now she ain't telling me nothing. She ain't responding. But I know the girl is getting them notes now. Now, I'm trying to get a little attitude because I'm like, I'm waiting for some response. Tell her, brother, something. She ain't said too much. But I know, I notice her changing a little bit. And, you know, and okay, all right. You got them. I can tell you getting them now. And I just kept on doing that. And other little things I did, and letting her see and how I'm responding. And all of a sudden now, guess what? Audrey starts to. You know? See, brothers, you thinking the devil got your wife? It ain't the devil got your wife. It's what you failing to do that got your wife. But she's saying that if you treat me like a lady, I can show you what a lady can do. And brothers, you know that's all you want. You want a lady. And God says the way you get that lady back up, the way you get her to resurrect herself, you got to start showing her some love. Woo her, brothers. You did it in the world. God don't have no problem with you wooing her now. She's yours. The two shall be one. Now you show her. You know, you start chasing her again. Sometimes literally too. But I ain't gonna mess with that. Let's start chasing around the house and just and watch what happens. Okay. This is the PG version. Come back on Wednesday. I'm gonna give you the full unedited version. Just married couples on Wednesday night because we can get raw then. You know, we can talk a little bit. Okay. I'm excited. Married couples, you got to come back Wednesday because we can talk a little bit. Okay. All right. So. That's that whole submission thing. That wives, when you bring yourself under that headship, everything falls in line. Because there's an order of God. See, everybody can't be the chief. Now, sisters, I know you high strung and you know what you got going on. But there's a mutual submission, but at the end of the day, the headship falls on the man. You do understand. Okay. Let me give this to you right quick, because I don't want you to think I'm just trying to. I ain't telling no untruth. I just want you to see this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It says this, and this is just God's order. This is not oppression. This is order, because when you don't have order, you have chaos. You know, somebody's got to be able to say, we're going this way. This is what God is calling us to do. And it doesn't mean that, wives, you don't have a voice. Because if we smart and intelligent, we understand God speaks to you too. Amen. Come on, Sarah. God will speak to you. Come on, Mary. God speaks to you. So wise men will listen to the wisdom that God has put on your side. But at the end of the day, Adam, where art thou? And God can't have you saying, well, you know, she told me to do it. God said, I don't want to hear that. I put you in charge. I told you to cover. You responsible. Come on, you in the military understand that. Don't come back telling me my soldiers. No. You're the sergeant. You're the lieutenant. You're the captain. You in charge. What happened? Buck stops at the leader. So here's what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says this. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is what? Christ. So the head of every man. Here is headship. Here is order. The head of every man is Christ. That means every man. You've got to bring yourself under the authority of Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. Now, let me put that in perspective. That's not the head of every woman. That's not the head of every man, meaning that if you're a man, every woman comes under yours. No. That's talking about wives to husbands. So don't get that crooked. Don't get that twisted, brothers. When you go, well, I'm the head. You go in the street and tell some sister if you want to. She might tell you who she is. But anyway, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman, which means the head of that married woman is her husband. And the head of Christ is what? So everybody has headship. There's order in the family. Somebody say order in the house. Yeah, because when there's no order, then, you know, you got chaos. So if that man loves you like Christ loved the church, you want to bring yourself under there because he's your protector. My wife was telling me the other day, babe, I ain't got to worry about nothing because you're supposed to make sure I got my food. You're supposed to make sure. I said, baby, but I ain't got no more money. That's your problem. I said, come on, girl, can't you lend me a little something? I'll give it back to you on Friday. She said, no, that's your problem. I said, okay. So you can't say you're the head and then on the other side, hey, baby, can you lend me my Friday? It don't work like that. Okay, so we got that. Let me move on because time is getting away. Okay, so we understand now with the husband that you're going to love your wife Without condition. Wives, you're going to submit yourself to your husband. Okay? So if we're going to have the order of God in our marriage, that's the first two things. Love and respect has to be present. For some of you, that means that you're going to have to repent to your spouse. You may have to go back and say, babe, I'm sorry. Tell your husband, you know, I've disrespected you. We're going to change this thing. Let's get it right now. So that God can get in the equation. Can I tell you something? God doesn't bless in the chaos. God doesn't bless. Now, you come to church speaking all in tongues and doing all that and rolling all on the floor and falling all out. And, they put covers on you. Then you go home and act like a crazy fool. Well, I'm sorry. And then you want God to bless that relationship. God ain't going to bless that. We got to get it together. So, wives, you submit it. Now, number three, because we're talking about marriage God's way. Number three, always communicate with your spouse from a heart of love. One of the major problems in relationships, most couples will say, and that's saved and unsaved, they say communication. Communication. How we communicate. It's not that we're not talking. We're talking, but we're not talking right. Because communication should always come from a place of love. Even when we have conflicts, it still should come from a place of love. Okay? When God rebukes us, when the Holy Spirit corrects us, does he do it in anger? Or does he do it in love? He does it in love. Rebuke with all long suffering and love. Everything we do, it should come from a heart of love. Okay? Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. You can just reference that. Let me read it. You can reference it. It says, King James says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Here's the Amplified, which really gives you clarity. It says this in Amplified. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. Woo-hoo. That's heavy, isn't it? Let me read that again. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. Now, this is talking to, I'm talking about, how you communicate to your spouse. But only such speech as it is good for building up others. Somebody say edify. According to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Boy, that's heavy. So God is saying, you don't let foul, profane, vulgar language come out of your mouth to anybody, but particularly to your spouse. Okay, let me put it in my translation. You don't cuss at your spouse. Somebody say amen. No. You don't do that. You don't belittle your spouse. You don't call, as my mother used to say, you don't call your spouse out of their name. You're a fool. You're a dummy. You can't do nothing right. I knew I should have did it myself. And you wonder why he doesn't do anything. See, because how you communicate is a reflection of what's in your heart. How you communicate. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 12. If you don't believe me. How you articulate to your spouse, it is a reflection of what's in your heart. And we are to communicate from a heart of love at all times. But Pastor, you don't know. She gets me upset. Pastor, you don't know. That man is he's a piece of work. Okay? But that may be true. But still, your responsibility as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ is to walk in the fruits of the Spirit at all times, which means I still have to respond in kind. I still have to respond out of a heart of love, even when I want to make corrections. I don't have a right to cuss you out because you said something wrong to me. Because if you're coming from a heart of love, cussing ain't in you. Because you're supposed to be like him. Oh, you're getting quiet now. Okay, Matthew chapter 12. Okay, because how we communicate is a reflection of what's in our heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says this. O generation of vipers or snakes. How can you, being evil, speak those things that are good? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, if you're evil, you can't speak good things. Okay, verse 35 says this. A good man, somebody says a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. So if good is in your heart, then your communication is going to be good. What you talk, how you talk. What comes out of your mouth is going to be good. Then he says, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Put it this way. If your heart is filled with negativity, then your communication is going to be negative. If your heart is filled with evil and hatred and lying, then that's what's going to come out of your mouth. You only communicate what's in your heart. If you're just a very critical person and that's all you do, that's all in your heart, that's all that's going to come out of your mouth. But if your heart is filled with love, you will communicate from a place of love. Even when you've got to have tough conversations with your spouse, it's still going to come from a place of love. You never have an excuse to say that you made me upset. That's why I said what I... No. The reason why you said that is because that was in your heart. Because you never say anything that's not in your heart. And over 31 years, we've had these tough conversations where I've said things that I shouldn't have said, and it was in my heart, and I had to own it. You had to own it. Don't be talking about, well, you know, you made... No. Nobody can make you do anything. Nobody could make you... Yes, can you get upset and can they say things and do... Yes. But at the end of the day, you're still responsible for what comes out of your mouth. And you've got to determine, are you going to fight fire with fire or are you going to fight that with love? Now, here's another scripture for you. I'm giving you Bible. This is not Pastor Harris. Romans 13 and 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So when I'm walking in a place of love, even in tough conversations, I'm going to come from a place of love because that's not in me. And you know what I've learned, brothers? I learned how to shut it down. I know I feel my temperature. I feel where I could go. And I'm controlled enough and disciplined enough in the spirit to shut it down. I am not going to let that come out of my mouth. And the fact that it even came to me means I got some work that I got to do because I shouldn't even be thinking like that. But I got enough discipline now that it ain't coming out of here. Now, years ago, yeah, it could come out. But now, no, because I understand. You used to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words won't. Words can kill you. Words can kill you. Come on, married couples. You know, some of you right now, you're still dealing with the words of what he said or what she said, and you're still trying to recover from that. I can't believe you would say something like that to me. See, when you communicate from a place of love, your communication will never be threatening and abusive when you're coming from a place of love. Because that's not God. That's not God for us to threaten one another, to be abusive in our language. Not even physical abuse. I'm talking about emotional abuse. Sometimes that's worse than the physical. Because you just beat somebody down with your words until they have no self-esteem left. And then you want that person to produce. How can they produce when you beat them down? You never do anything. You're just a dummy. Why did I marry you? And then you wonder why they don't do. Because you beat them down. Now, can I tell you this? Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. Here's another one. So if I'm coming from a place of love in my communication, in times of disagreement or conflict, you will never use derogatory or profane words when you're communicating to your spouse, because your communication is coming from a place of love. So you don't cuss at your spouse. And I wonder if I could go home with some married couples, what we would hear. Woo, shada bokunde besha. Just wonder what we might hear. If you don't get your... You bet not. You try me. You try me. And then you got all these, boop, 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 boop. You got to bleep it out, you know. Because I know we got some cussers in the house. I ain't crazy now. I know we got some cussers in here. Some of y'all did this. You just told on yourself. I ain't going to put you on blast. I just looked at you. Put your head back up. I'm turning. But you know, so work on that. Let the Holy Spirit come and do the work in you. You know, now before I got saved, yeah. And I think maybe once after I got saved, I had a one or two slip out. Yeah, it came out. But when I got dipped in the Holy Ghost, ain't nothing come out no more now. Because it ain't in me. It ain't in me. Now, have I gotten upset? Oh, yes. Have I had to repent on? Yeah, yes, I did. But that foul language is gone. Because he'll give you another language. Don't tell me you got the can't help it. You know, because when he changes your heart, he changes your language. You know, an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. But a good man, now there's none righteous but Christ. But when I take on his spirit and I am born again, regenerated means to redo, that I have his spirit, guess what? Cussing goes away. I feel like I'm helping somebody. Because we got to get away from these cussing Christians. I mean, come on, Facebook, I mean, you cuss. Didn't I just see you in praise and worship? And you bleep this and bleep that and bleep, bleep. And what is all this? And then we got these gestures, the finger. And what in the, I mean, come on. So the whole thing about communication, it is about respecting your spouse. It's about communicating in a godly way. And sometimes the reason why we got problems right now is we don't talk right to one another. You know, my wife has told me, she said, baby, why you sound like that? I even have to watch my tone because sometimes, you know, I can be a little, you know, and I don't even realize it sometimes. I'm like, baby, what you mean? Or You got to know when you had a stressful day or something. If you're not careful, sometimes you bring that into the house. And now you're responding to your spouse. And it has really nothing to do with your spouse. It's all about your day and the stresses of life. And now you're responding. Ah! Hey, babe, you want some? I don't know. Whoa, where'd that come from? You know, you're like, whoa. And if you're not mature, now you're offended. Now we got another problem. And all because of how we responded. You know, and they said about this whole communication, 30 to 40% of it is not verbal, it's nonverbal. It's not, or shall I say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Okay? And I've used that before. Hey, babe. Yeah, honey. I want to go to the mall. Can you take me? Yeah. You don't want to go. Babe, I just told you. Yeah. No, you don't. But babe, I just told you. But you don't want to go. But I said, yeah. So, you see, the interpretation. You said yes, but you really were saying no. Now, same scenario. Hey, babe. Yeah. Hey, can you take me to the mall? Oh, sure, babe. When you want to go? Now, not only did I say yes verbally, but I meant that yes too. Oh, can I get? And that's, so it's all about how we respond, our tone, all of that. See, it's like, and we didn't get into the body gestures. All right, babe, come on, let's go. You don't want to go, do you? Babe, I said I want to go. Come on. Don't you know I'm going to go? I said I want to go. Why you keep asking me, do I want to go? Yeah, I want to go. Yeah, I want to go. And sisters, y'all say, no, you don't. You don't want to go. Because the body just admit everything. Can I get some help from the married couple? I know you didn't want to go. You having fun out here? Yeah, babe, I'm having a whole lot of fun. What you want to do next? I've been there, done that. And I've done that, and I've learned, brothers. She say, that's all right, I don't want to go. Why you got an attitude? Because you didn't want to go. I said I was going. No, you didn't. Now we're in a fight over that. I said yes, but I didn't really mean it, you know. Now she's upset. Now, you know, nighttime comes, and So, brothers, you know what? I try to keep my stuff tight. Because I want to be able to jump off when I'm ready to jump off. And I know if I put something in the kitty. See, some of y'all trying to make withdrawals without putting deposits in. And she like, your account, brother, your account is overdrawn. Don't even look this way. Don't try to get, no. Get out of my face. Let's learn how to speak right. Let's learn how to talk right. Okay, number four. If we're going to do it God's way, put away selfishness. And I'm wrapping things up. Put away selfishness. Here's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not who? Not I. Oh, remember that word I. But Christ that liveth in me, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am. There's no longer I. See, selfishness is about the I in you. Now, when you got married, the I in you is supposed to die. A marriage cannot thrive when the I is alive. The I in you must die so the we in us can live. See, marriage is about we. It's about us. It's not about I. You know, the I syndrome represents selfishness. What I want to do, where I want to go. See, that's the reason why some of y'all don't respond to your spouse properly, because it's about you. It's I. It's not about them. It's not about the we in us. You know Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14? You know, he had an eye syndrome. And look what happened. The Bible says this about Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heavens. Listen to this. First eye. Count the eyes. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. How many is that? I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. How many is that? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. How many is that? I will be like the Most High God. How many is that? Now listen to what God said. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Why? Because I can never thrive in a marriage relationship. I will always bring the relationship down because selfishness is about control. It's about doing it your way. It's about what you want to do. When you get in a marriage, you got to put selfishness to the side. It got to die. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. It's not about me. This ain't McDonald's. You can have it your way. Or Burger King. No, no. When you got married, it's about her way. And when you married him, it's about his way. And my job is to make sure that I give her what she wants and vice versa, because you reap what you sow. Selfishness. Okay. So I told you, whatever you sow is what you reap. Okay. Honey, can you give me a cup of coffee? I'm running a little late this morning. Can you make that? You're already downstairs. Baby, I got to go to work too. I don't feel like making that. You got to do that on your own. Because I got to get to work. You know, I got an interview. I can't do that. Gets in his car. He drives off. He goes to work. Okay. 2 weeks later, he's sick. Baby, I'm not feeling too well. My throat and my eyes. I just feel like I'm about to die. Could you give me some cough medicine? Now you reap what you sow. Okay? Selfishness. Okay? Now if she's not spiritual, here's her response. I got to go to work, baby. I don't have time. You're going to have to get up and get some. It's some down in the basement, you know, in that bathroom in the little cabinet there. Yeah, you got to come downstairs and get there. But baby, I don't know if I can walk there. Well, baby, you're going to have to try because I got to go. I'll see you later. I'll call you and see if you're still living. See, it's comical, but you reap what you see. Selfishness breeds selfishness. So you wonder why your spouse doesn't respond in kind, maybe because you are not responding. So I learned a long time ago that if I want her to respond right, then I've got to meet her needs. Because if I meet her needs, she turns around and meets my needs. Because it's not about me. Sometimes she wants me to go places I do not want to go. But I don't tell her that now. See, I've been doing this thing for 31 years now. I'm smart enough to know, okay, you say yeah today, you're going to get a no tomorrow. And the no you get, you ain't going to be happy. So, baby, yes, what restaurant you want to go to? Because, you know, I can just do Burger King. But I know Audrey don't do Burger King. So whatever you want, baby, I'll go. Now, I don't really like the Korean food, but if she wants to go there, I go to Pig and what?
Honey Pig,
and I just do what I got to do. Look, Elder, I don't know what I'm getting. Hopefully it's okay, and I do what I do, you know. Now, if you ask Archie to go to Honey Pig, he ain't going no Honey Pig. He's going to Mid-Atlantic somewhere. But that's what she wants. Now, when it's my time. Oh, yeah. See, because I have made deposits, brother. And you can't make deposits when you're selfish, sisters. So sometimes that man wants certain things, and he wants you to do certain things with him. That's dumb. I ain't going to sit down there and look at no game with you. That's how you want to go. Well, guess what, sisters? Sit on down and act like you know what you're talking about. Yeah, touchdown. No, baby. No, baby. That was Steph Curry. Steph Curry just hit a three. That ain't a touchdown. But that's okay. That's okay. Because you know what? He's just happy that you're sitting with him. He's just happy that you're sitting with him. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you don't know it. And if you stay with him long enough, you'll learn the game. Because the truth is, when I married her, she didn't know much about sports. But that girl started hanging with me, and that's when I used to ball all the time. And all of a sudden, she started talking basketball. Oh, honey, you know, you should have passed that one. You didn't look like you was aggressive enough. Now, she trying to critique me, Elder. When we first got married, I'm playing on these teams. You know, and so she did it. So it's the same thing. You may not like something, and maybe you'll grow to like it, or maybe you'll never. But you're there because he wants you there. Or you're there because she wants you there. And it's not even about you enjoying it as much as he's enjoying your company and you enjoying his company. Now, let me throw this in here. And this is not, you know, this is just reality. I'm going to be real. Okay. You don't want to take her nowhere? There is a man that will take her somewhere. And I can't get no help right now. And see, people don't want to believe that. Osheba Robo Konde. Yeah. And he's rolling up in there all smooth and, you know, hey, babe, you know, I'll take you. He won't take, I'll take you there. I'll take you wherever you want to go. Because see. And you're right. He's a snake. But the reason why that snake can even sneak in there and get a little ear is because guess what? You ain't making no deposits, brother. And she's on E and she's feeling like, I need somebody to fill my tank. And I want to do it legitimately, but I can't seem to get it. So guess what? The enemy listens to how we communicate, listens to what we do and don't do, and he will plant something in your life. Brothers, the same way. Brothers, the same way. And sisters, okay, you don't want to go nowhere with him? You don't even want to come outside and look at how he's fixing the car? Guess what? She right down the street. And all of a sudden, every time you drive out your community, and you like, now you, he got to struggle to keep it together because he wants to do something legitimate with the one that he's in covenant with, but she's not responding. And that's reality. That's reality. All right, I'm going to stop right there. I have one more, but I'll give you that on Wednesday, and we'll deal with some more things. Did it help anybody today?